Welcome to BrotoGP. Welcome to another edition of Rob's Tech Tape. This time, we're going to slow things down. If you've never been here before, this is a segment where I take questions off of social media, off of our Facebook group, anywhere really, and answer them just for you. I'm an engineer. I'm a motorcycle racer. I like to study this stuff. I read all the rule books. Pretty much, I nerd out on this shit just for you guys. But all right, I only got four questions this time, but we still got to get moving. So here we go. All right, question number one comes from Julian on Facebook. So Julian wants to know, for an amateur racer, when is the right time to set up for the next corner? Is it worth it to come back to the center of the seat for corner for between two corners of the same direction? And he wants to know how to brake harder while his butt is on the side of the seat. All right, the first two parts are pretty easy. For any racer, the best time to set up for the next corner is before you start braking or before you need to do anything for that corner. If you don't need to brake, you just need to turn in, still set up before that. Any movement on the bike, especially for your lower body while braking or while turning in, is kind of wasteful, and it can upset the motorcycle. Also, if you're trying to move your butt around while you're turning in, how are you using the foot pegs effectively to turn the motorcycle, right? If I'm trying to get into the corner faster, easier, stronger, I want to push down on the inside foot peg. But in order to move my butt to the inside, I have to push on the outside foot peg. So it's kind of wasteful. When I first started racing as a novice, I actually didn't move my butt over until after I started braking. And when I finally fixed it after receiving some coaching, it was like free turning. Like, I like to use that term. Anything that you can do better is free turning. It just makes the bike turn better, turn easier, hold a tighter line for all the other inputs that you're already doing. So yeah, hang off before braking, before turning in, get that stuff done first. All right, as far as whether or not it's worth it to hang off or go back to the center between two corners on a straightaway, it really all depends on the straightaway. For tiny short straightaways that are only a couple seconds long, I won't go back to the center. For anything longer than like 10 seconds, I'm definitely going back to the center. If you're racing, you're creating drag by not being centered on the motorcycle. Like, it's probably a better idea to make sure that your head is actually on the gas tank for all those little straightaways and you're fully tucked in, but still move your butt back over too. All right, the third part of this question, how to brake harder while your butt is on the side of the seat. This one is way more complicated. We're going to get into this a little bit later. First things first, definitely get used to it. So practice it a lot. Just being comfortable in that position is really going to help you out. Second of all, I like to make sure that I have some grip foam or grip, any grippy thing on my gas tank. It really helps me out quite a bit. I actually purchased like surfboard foam and put it on the corners of my gas tank. I don't really put it on the sides all that much because when you're hanging off fully, my inner thigh kind of touches the corner of the tank and it's not actually on the side of the gas tank. I can't ride a race bike on track and feel comfortable without foam there. So if you don't have some, try it out. Last little bit, you know, there's definitely some discussion to be had about body position and when you move your head around, but you'll see a lot of pro racers while they're braking really hard, they'll kind of have their head up a little bit. They'll still be off to the side, but they won't be down here like full Mark Marquez. Hopefully you're able to hear that because I just moved out of the way of the microphone. Start with your head high, lower it as you start to come off the brakes. That'll help you be a little bit more comfortable. It's at least what I do. Other coaches and other, you'll see definitely other riding styles for that. All right, question number two. Austin wants to know, the golden rule still seems to be that you apply throttle when you can see the exit of the corner. True, very true. So his question is, and what do you do in the circumstance where a corner is a full 180 degrees or greater? The same rule still applies. If you can't see the exit of the corner, don't apply the throttle. Wait. Waiting for me entails being at maintenance throttle or neutral throttle. So essentially you're applying just enough throttle to not accelerate on the motorcycle. Obviously the amount of throttle you need to give to not accelerate and to not decelerate depends on the corner. If you're in a second gear corner, it can be a small amount of throttle, maybe 10-15%. If you're in a fourth or fifth gear corner, you probably need to apply more than 50% throttle to actually not slow down. But it's important that you do that because it makes the bike neutral. It It's going to make sure that, like, you're already in the corner, right? You already have set your lean angle. You already have set your corner speed. You know that you can continue in that corner at that speed and not crash. So being at maintenance throttle to wait for the exit is it's kind of the safest thing that you can do. It might not be the fastest thing, but we'll get to that later because I have some more questions concerning that. But it is the safest. So get to maintenance throttle, hang out, wait for that exit. Then once you see the exit, smoothly roll on the throttle in kind of a quick manner. My throttle roll-ins, I try to make them take less than 2 seconds from maintenance throttle to wide open throttle. Some other people will say 1 second. I think 1 second is occasionally too fast. I don't always do it that fast. But yeah, and it also depends on the motorcycle. High horsepower motorcycle, you're going to be at a lower maintenance throttle and it'll probably take you longer to get to the gas. Lower horsepower motorcycle, higher maintenance throttle, you'll go to wide open throttle faster. All right, number three. This one is a doozy, actually. So the whole reason why I'm doing this kind of slowed down tech tape is because my boy Remy here kind of dropped this question into a DM. So he noticed on a previous episode of my tech tape, or maybe in a podcast episode, that I made a comment that the traction circle is kind of bullshit. So the traction circle is you have 100 points of traction. If you're braking with 100 points, you can't turn at all. If you're turning with 100 points, so you're max lean angle, you're at the edge of grip, you can't brake at all. Bullshit is a harsh term. I shouldn't say bullshit. Do I think it's kind of wrong? It's just this is where my nerdy nitpicking mind goes. All right, So we're gonna go into pretty hard detail with this. Hopefully, I'll get everyone to follow along. And I'm going to explain these diagrams that I've got up right now for everyone that's listening on iTunes. But if you're at all confused and you think diagrams will help you out, definitely check out our YouTube video as well. All right, so here is the classic traction circle. So we've got a perfectly circular circle. I've actually flipped it upside down. I put braking at the top and acceleration at the bottom. That's fine. It doesn't really matter at all. We can swap the longitudinal axis. We've got the left turn on the left, the right turn on the right, the lateral axis in the middle. So 100 points of traction. If you're using 100 for braking, you can use none for turning. If you're using 100 for turning, you can use none for braking. If we're going into the deep physics of all this stuff and of how we actually pilot a motorcycle, this is probably slightly wrong. I'm going to try to explain it as best as possible. But in order to get there, well, before we even do that, actually, let's talk about why the traction circle is used. Number one, it's a really good thing to tell riders that are new to performance anything on their motorcycle. They're new at the racetrack. They need to understand that traction is finite. They need to understand that it's a good idea to take away lean angle when they apply the throttle. They're also probably not very good at using the brakes, right? You don't want them snatching on the brake mid-corner because they think they can. They're going to tuck the front. No one should ever snatch the brake lever. That's too aggressive. So you tell this to newer riders, it is generally safer. However, as a rider gains more skills, these concepts may not be perfect. They may need to be slightly unlearned in order for you to go as fast as possible on the racetrack. But all right, let's jump into the physics of all this stuff. So I'm going to do something bad here. I'm going to actually talk about cars first. So there's plenty of data out there for the traction circle for cars. Depending on the car, depending on the tires, if you actually measure G-forces for braking, accelerating, and turning, you'd probably get an ellipse and not a circle. So the ellipse will be longer on the longitudinal axis, so you can actually brake and accelerate harder than you can turn, right? A lot of cars are limited to like 1G of turning. That's not that surprising. You know, you can go higher when you have downforce, but for regular cars, not so much. And it all depends on the tires too, of course, right? Cars can brake harder than that, especially if they have downforce, and cars could accelerate harder than that if they had the horsepower to do so, but cars are too heavy. They don't even accelerate as fast as motorcycles generally. But all right, so we've got our car traction ellipse, right? We've already kind of shown that the traction circle is wrong, but, you know, it's physically wrong, but the general idea is still correct, right? If you are braking and you want to turn, you need to remove some brake. Even trail braking in a car, you still got to come off the brake a little bit. Otherwise, you're going to make those tires squeal. So the main reason why this is true for a car is because the way that car tires generate grip. Car tires generate grip through slip angles, so the angle that the tires are turned has to be greater than the path of travel for the car tires. So if I've got my steering wheel turned at 7 degrees, I'm only going to get like a path that's turning 4 degrees inwards. That's a really weird way to say it, but I don't know. I hope you got it. Because car tires generate lateral force, generate turning force through slip angle, there's something funny happens when you apply a bunch of load to them. When you apply a bunch of load, they actually lose maximum grip. So this, or they lose normalized grip. So when you apply load, you say you apply a bunch of vertical load to it, you're using some of that load and longitudinal forces in braking, you end up with less lateral grip because of it. I've got a graph right here. This is from a well-established, it's practically a textbook. But essentially this graph right here shows that the more vertical load you apply to the tires, the less normalized lateral grip you actually obtain. So like if you think about this from a motorcycle, that would imply that as you're braking, you can't actually turn as much because you're braking really hard, and that fits the traction circle, and that would seem great. However, motorcycle tires do not generate lateral or turning forces the same way that car tires do. Motorcycle tires are rounded. They're a conical shape. Because they're conical, when you lean them over, they generate what's called camber thrust. Camber thrust is what allows a motorcycle to take the same turn as a car with far less steering angle. And actually, the faster you go on a motorcycle, or maybe not the faster you go, but the more you lean the motorcycle over, the more you're on the steep edge of the tire. Because you're on the steep edge of the tire generates more camber thrust and the less steering angle you need. So that's why one reason when you're at the racetrack, you may counter steer really hard to get the bike to fall into the corner, but once the counter steer is over, the bars are practically pointed straight. You're on the edge of the tire, you've got a ton of camber thrust from both the front and the rear tire. The bike doesn't need a ton of steering angle to actually make it around the corner. Racetracks, you know, don't have too tight of corners. If you're making a U-turn on a motorcycle, the handlebars turn 10 degrees. But if you're making a U-turn on a car, the handlebars need to turn 2 full rotations of the steering wheel. It's considerably more. So because motorcycle tires generate that grip differently, they don't exhibit what's called load sensitivity. Load sensitivity was that other term, that other concept I was just talking about, where you apply more load to the tires and they lose maximum grip. Motorcycle tires, got a graph here from Motorcycle Dynamics, another textbook, they don't do it. You can apply 5 times as much load and you're going to get the same normalized lateral force, the same normalized turning force. So that allows you, when you're using the brakes, to actually still make the corner. It helps out quite a bit. This load sensitivity, right? It's related to camber thrust, like I was saying. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to show you my diagram here of what I think the traction circle for motorcycles actually looks like. I've got it compared to the two other ones that I've already shown, the ellipse and the circular one. Here it is up on screen right now. It looks completely funny. It's kind of mushroom shaped. That was not a joke, but it happens. All right. So let's explain this now. All right. So that whole load sensitivity thing and camber thrust thing just tells me that motorcycles can have more grip while they're actually braking than they would if they're not braking. So if you're using 50 points for braking, you can get more than 50 points for actual turning, right? We've now increased the total number of points. We're not limited to 100 anymore. There are a couple other reasons too. So motorcycle tires are also optimized for lean angle. Here's a diagram from Dunlop showing that their maximum contact patch size is actually near 45 degrees. Here's another one showing like higher than 45, between 45 and 50 degrees, right? Motorcycle tire manufacturers know that you want grip while having high degrees of lean angle, right? Larger contact patch on, in the classical sense, like contact patch or surface area does not play that large of a role for friction. However, if we're talking about a surface that deforms to the other surface, like a tire, more surface area does equate to more friction. It will increase the coefficient of friction if the tire, if the portion of the tire that's touching the ground is actually larger. So because motorcycle tire manufacturers have made sure that your contact patch is actually largest and towards the end of the tire, you're going to get more grip. On top of that, when you're braking, when you're applying more vertical load, more longitudinal load into the tire, you flatten the tire out further. So you get even more grip out of the front tire when you're braking really hard. You'll notice too, in the center of my traction circle here, I didn't actually put the max braking force as high as I would have for a car. I think that's because the contact patch of the motorcycle tire isn't actually as large in the center as it is on the edges. I can't really back that one up all that much. But the rest of it, so when you actually finally lean over, you've got like 45 degrees of lean angle, you've put in some lateral load, you've increased your contact patch by braking really hard, I think you're going to get the max amount of grip out of the front tire there. All right, one other part on this traction circle. If you're looking on YouTube, great. If you notice, the edges are kind of like, once you approach the x-axis, once you approach the lateral axis on my graph, the traction points, the total number of points, makes it back down to 100. So say we go from 120 maximum at 45 degrees of lean angle, or, you know, comparable lateral load to braking load to longitudinal load. But when you get to only lateral load, you've removed all your longitudinal load. You no longer have that extra force pushing the tire down into the asphalt. Yeah, there is still force, right? There is still more load created by the lateral force, which is why we see tires deform when someone has a ton of lean angle. But it's not as much as if you were still braking. And this, in my opinion, decreases the amount of total grip that you have when you're not braking. We see this often. Motorcycle racers in all the national series and all the international series, MotoGP, World Superbike, Moto America, all those, racers will crash right when they release the front brake lever, right? So in my opinion, in MotoGP, especially since they've switched to the Michelin front tires from Bridgestones, it is one of the most dangerous times on the motorcycle. They're in the corner, they're still on the brakes, they're moving along just fine, their speed is decreasing. Because their speed is decreasing, the lateral load is going down, but at some point they need to release the brake lever to commit to finishing the corner and to getting back on the gas. They release the brake lever, the front tucks. What happened? They were going too fast. By releasing the brake lever, they eliminated some of the available lateral grip and they went down. What's the solution? They have to hold the brake lever on longer. They have to decrease their speed until the amount of lateral grip matches the amount of lateral force that they're going to use, and then they can finish the corner. We see Marc Marquez, we see Rossi, we see Vinales, we see Jorge. All of them have crashed at some time or another by releasing the brake lever. There are a couple of other factors that could come into play. If you release the brake lever too fast when you're finally coming off of it, say you go from 10% braking force to zero really quick by letting go of the brake lever, you will cause the front suspension to extend really quickly. It could bounce the front tire off the ground and you lose grip. But we got to assume that MotoGP riders are not doing this. We also got to assume that HRC has set up Marc Marquez's front suspension to be perfect, right? That they've got the tire pressure perfect. Everything is near as perfect as it's going to get. So Marc Marquez likely isn't really making a huge rider mistake like letting the brake lever off too early. He's probably making a minor rider mistake and he's trying to push the corner speed too much. He thought that he was going slow enough to hold that corner and he wasn't, so he went down. All right, so that's kind of all I have for the third question on the traction circle. I mean, to round this one out, I don't think the traction circle is entirely a bad thing. I think that anyone that's teaching it is probably doing so knowing that there are certain asterisks to the whole concept. I don't need to tell a first-time track rider or especially not a first-time street rider, that if they hold the brakes on in the middle of the corner, they're going to have more front grip, right? We don't need to tell them that. But eventually, as you become a novice racer, an expert racer, you're going to need to and want to take advantage of this stuff. Oh, actually, there's one other little part here about the traction circle. No, I'll get into it in the fourth question. All right, moving on to the fourth question here. Kind of a two-parter here, but it's pretty much both the same thing. Malky Facone wants to know, sorry for butchering that name, California Superbike School taught me to never roll on the throttle while still increasing lean angle. Yeah, good idea. How does braking while adding lean angle work? I think he's trying to make the comparison there of why can we do one, braking while adding lean angle, but we can't do the other one. And he says he still does his braking standing straight up and he hasn't learned how to trail in. Adrian Carter wants to just know, trail braking, what is it? How does it help? I know the answer and do it, but figured it would be interesting along the lines of the topics of this episode. Totally right. I'm going to round this one out. All right. So trail braking is the action of getting into the corner while still holding the brakes and decreasing your brake pressure while applying lean angle. So I have a little diagram here it's all over the internet. Everyone's seen it 1,000 times. Essentially, you do 100% braking force while straight up and down. Then as you add lean angle, you start counting down, right? 70%, 50%, 30%, 20, 10, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, all the way down to 0% braking force at your tightest turning radius at the apex of the corner, at the slowest point of the corner. And then you do the opposite. You slowly add and then later aggressively add acceleration, add throttle to come out of the corner. Generally, this is the way that all racers take almost all corners that require braking. In my opinion, it is the fastest way through any corner. If you need to slow down, use the brakes. If you need to use the brakes, use them in the corner instead of on the straightaway. But all right, on the flip side, here is the opposite way, what I like to think of as the wrong way to take a corner. This is kind of taught in very intro motorcycle courses. The MSF might teach something similar. It's been so long since I took my MSF course that I can't remember. But effectively, you do all your braking straight up and down. So when the bike has no lean angle, then you get off the brakes, then you either reapply the throttle a little bit to go back to neutral throttle, or maybe you engine brake still. You then apply your counter-steering input, your steering input, to add your lean angle. Once you get into the corner, you slowly roll on the throttle as you're exiting, or slowly roll on the throttle. Like, the reason why this diagram is so wrong is because it has increasing throttle all the way from corner entry all the way to the exit. This, if you're seeing this right now, I pulled this image off of the Wikipedia for counter-steering a motorcycle. Like, this is a well-known diagram, and it's just bad. The only reason why this style of riding works is if you minimize your speed at corner entry and then don't screw with it, right? If you're going reasonably fast on corner entry and then you want to go a little bit faster, or not that you want to go a little faster, but if you're going reasonably fast on corner entry, how can you increase throttle through the corner? You're going to end up in the dirt. You're going to tuck the front. You're going to slide the rear. It's going to be bad news bears. Don't do this. Instead, the easiest way to learn how to go faster is to use the brakes effectively to turn the motorcycle. All right, so trail braking. Let's talk about why it works, why it's faster around a racetrack. Let's do most important things first. Well, so in question number 3, I already suggested, implied, supported the idea that load on the front tire increases the contact patch and likely increases grip. So even a small amount of trail braking, even 5% braking force, helps the front tire stick to the ground. It doesn't really sacrifice much total grip, right? You get free longitudinal grip, i.e. you get the braking effectively for free as long as you're smart with the brake lever, as long as you're not smashing it on in the middle of the corner or letting it go suddenly, you're getting grip almost for free. So that one we already went over. Number 2, decreasing speed reduces your turning radius while your lean angle is constant. Even when your lean angle isn't constant, if your lean angle is increasing and you're decreasing your speed, your turning radius is going to tighten even further. So that means that all those racers that get into the corner, they got their knee on the ground and they're still braking, they haven't yet reached their smallest turning radius, right? If they were to let go of the brake right then and not crash, they would miss their apex. They'd go wide because they have too much speed. They're not able to turn more. They can't make it to the apex. By reducing speed, you are helping turn the motorcycle. This works for both the front and the rear brake. Anytime you're reducing speed, you are going to reduce your turning radius, assuming that your lean angle is constant or decreasing. Or your lean angle is increasing. That helps a lot. Honestly, I always tend to think about the brake as being just another tool to turn the motorcycle. Little side points for that. It all relates to geometry. When you're on the brakes, the front, even a small amount, the front end lowers considerably. This shortens the wheelbase of the motorcycle. It steepens the forks. It reduces the trail. All these things can help the motorcycle to turn considerably. Race bikes are often set up to be really stable so that we can take advantage of this. We want the stability on corner exit so that we can get on the gas harder, but we don't need all of that stability in every single corner. Because of that, you use the brakes to control the ride height. If your motorcycle isn't set up like this, say you've pulled the forks through your triple clamps by like 20 millimeters because you think that it makes the bars easier to turn, you might have a hard time with trail braking. Your front ride height's already really low, right? When you get on the brakes, the front ride height lowers even further. The bike's going to get unstable. The bike probably isn't going to stop better. So with that setup, don't trail brake so hard. But if you want to try and ride my bike, if you don't trail brake with my race bike, it turns like a pig. But the second you start holding considerable amounts of braking force into the corner, it works a whole lot better. Last part, this is specific to the racetrack only because we're talking about lap times. The reason why trail braking, or one reason, another reason why trail braking is faster around the racetrack is because it increases the amount of time that you're on the throttle. At the end of the straightaway, if someone that's not trail braking brakes at when they're doing 100 miles an hour, and then I'm trail braking and I can brake 50 feet later and I accelerate to 105 miles an hour and I end up taking the same line and have the same minimum corner speed, right? The same speed at the apex, I just made up a ton of time on that other rider. An unbelievable amount, probably on the order of a half second, maybe a full second in just that single corner, because I was able to hold the gas on longer and I did all my braking while actually turning. It's multitasking. If you subdivide everything and do them all individually, it's going to be slower. All right, what else do I have for trail braking? I think the other part of that question was a comparison between rolling on the throttle while increasing lean angle and actually braking. Number one, rolling on the throttle and adding lean angle are two additions, right? So it's more lean angle and more throttle. So it can be very dangerous. Braking is generally started before adding lean angle, like if we're talking about really hard and the classical trail braking sense. So you have the ability to remove brake pressure as you add lean angle. So the two situations aren't entirely comparable. Aside from all of that, like the motorcycle geometry can be set up to take advantage of trail braking, like I already talked about. When it comes to the rear end of the motorcycle, crack like doing 5% throttle or 10% or even 20% throttle doesn't afford you a ton of extra load onto the rear tire. That's one of the reasons why my little traction circle diagram over here doesn't have the exact same shape for the braking half as it does for the acceleration half. I haven't really figured out yet how I feel about the acceleration half of the traction circle for a motorcycle. There's a lot of geometry stuff going on, and it can really depend on your spring rates and how you've set up the motorcycle. Things move around quite a bit. With a race bike, a lot of people think that the suspension compresses when you get on the gas really hard. That's not always true, because if the suspension compresses, then the front tire loses grip and I might not be able to finish the corner. So a race bike is a really fine balance between the suspension getting enough weight to have grip and then the rear suspension also extending to keep the tire in the ground, the rear tire on the ground, and the front tire on the ground. It's a fine balance there. There's a lot of weird stuff going on with the geometry because it's a progressive linkage, usually on most motorcycles. So yeah, those two situations, adding throttle while adding lean angle and removing brake pressure while adding lean angle, are not entirely comparable. All right, to round this one out, and we'll spend another couple of minutes on this, I have a graph here for you. So I'm sorry if you're listening on iTunes. You really should go check out the YouTube. I'll try to describe this as best as possible. This is a data plot from my last race at Laguna Seca with Moto America. So this is turns 2, 3, and 4. If you look across the top of the bar, you can see blue, red, and blue, and those are kind of outlines of where the corners actually are. The blue line on this graph is my lean angle. It maximizes here, I think, about 55 degrees lean angle in turn two. The red line is braking deceleration. It maximizes at 0.97 Gs, if I'm not mistaken. And then the green line is acceleration, also in Gs. So you can see that it's a little lower than the red line for the maximum, so it's probably 0.8 Gs of acceleration. That's because coming out of turn two is a second gear corner, whereas coming out of the other ones are third gear corners on my R6. But all right, so let's talk about some interesting points here. For turn two, you can see that my my braking force ramps up reasonably slow. I should have probably got on the brakes a little harder. It gets up to 0.9 Gs, and then I start to trail right away. But that was also a mistake. I should not have done that. I should have held it on a little bit longer and actually held max braking force. However, if you watch the blue line, watch where the blue line starts to actually increase again into turn two. That's where I'm tipping in. You'll notice that I'm still holding like 80% of my max brake pressure when I tip into the corner. There are other corners that I probably could have found where I tip in with 100% max brake pressure, but it didn't work out as well in this little graphic. And I should have tipped in for turn two while still holding 100% max brake pressure and then trailed off kind of as I started to really accumulate a good amount of brake of lean angle. Here, I probably get up to 40 degrees in lean angle while still holding 50% brake pressure. That's all that grip that I've created. I've loaded the front tire. I've heated the front tire because I'm loading it so much, and I've got a ton of grip through turn two. My lean angle maximizes right when I let go of the brake lever. I crack the throttle a little bit and have to, like, because turn two is such a long corner, I kind of have to roll off just a little bit. And then I get back into it as I'm subtracting lean angle. Turn two's finished here. Now, if you notice, watch the lean angle. It decreases all the way down to effectively zero for in between two and three, and then it instantly goes straight back up. Turns two and three at Laguna Seca are very close together. It's a left and then a right. I don't have much time between those two corners, not much distance either, so I have to start turn three as soon as possible. I got to finish turn two, and I got to start turn three right away. But I need to brake for that corner. Because I'm trail braking, and this turn is one of the main reasons why I'm showing everyone this. Because I'm trail braking and because I have that skill, I can start braking after I've already turned in. I actually get to 45 degrees of lean angle before I even start to apply the brakes. I apply the brakes 250 feet after I turn in for turn three. My braking force doesn't go as high. I don't make it up to 0.9 Gs. I probably only go to 0.6 or 0.7. I totally forgot to include the y-axis on this plot. As I apply the brakes, my lean angle addition kind of slows a little bit. That's probably safe on my part, but it probably doesn't need to happen. And then the second I get to my max braking force, I trail it off very slow. Like, I trail it off nicely. I get down to zero braking force, and then I start to accelerate. The second I'm at zero braking force, hopefully I've timed it properly, as you can see in this graph, that I can start subtracting lean angle and I can start applying the throttle. If I did everything correctly, that point where I'm off the brakes coincides with the inside apex of the corner, coincides with me being able to see my exit, coincides with me being able to accelerate as hard as I possibly can out of that corner. I think it worked out in this one. I was having trouble with turn three the entire weekend, but it looks like this one was good. Moving on to turn number four, there's a little bit of time in between three and four where I'm on the curb, I come off the curb, I get back on the curb. So there's a little change in the lean angle between the two. And then if you notice for turn four, I do still need to slow down and I'm going a little bit faster than turn three here. But so my braking and my lean angle addition start at exactly the same time. So again, this is a different style of braking. Like, all this falls under trail braking because I am turning with some brake pressure, but it's not the classical sense of the word, right? It's not applying brake first and then reducing brake pressure as I turn into the corner. In this instance, in turn four, I'm applying brake pressure and applying and adding lean angle at exactly the same time. I get up to even less brake pressure than I did in turn three because turn four is a wider corner. It's considerably faster. There is tons of room on exit. I actually, you kind of want to favor the exit of this corner. It's definitely an exit corner. So I probably get off the brakes just a touch before the apex curb, but not too much before because I still want to use that whole decreasing radius as I'm slowing down to help me finish the corner. Once my brake pressure is completely off, I crack the throttle and see my exit and drive out of the turn. And driving out of the turn, or finishing braking and driving out of the turn, coincides with me subtracting my lean angle. These three corners, when I get them right, makes me feel like I actually know what I'm doing on a motorcycle. It's kind of an interesting feeling to have. But all right, that is all I have for questions. I hope I answered everything concerning trail braking, setting up of corners, the traction circle, corner exit. There was a lot in there. There was a lot. This is probably the longest tech tape so far. But if you're watching on YouTube, please like this video, share this video, and subscribe to our channel. We are almost up to 1,000 subscribers, which would be a cool milestone to hit. If you're listening on iTunes, please tell all your friends. Actually, for anyone listening to on iTunes or on Google Play, anyone else, we will be on Spotify quite soon. I finally got a message from our hosting service that they have submitted our podcast to Spotify, and it should be up there shortly. It might just randomly show up in the next couple of days. I'm going to be searching every single day to check and see if BrotoGP is on Spotify. Like, share, and subscribe this video. Tell your friends if you're listening on a podcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. We will catch you probably within less than a week after the Saxon Ring MotoGP round. Peace.